Hallelujah. If he calls you a mighty man of valor, I don't care if you're hiding around in the wine press in fear, you're a mighty man of valor. If he calls you a father of many nations, and you ain't been able to have children for years and years and years, bless God, you're the father of many nations. Amen. God's word is true, and it trumps anything we see, hear, or experience in our life. Can I get a big amen on that?
Amen.
Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 16. That is St. John, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. We have been doing a series which I have entitled The Advantage of the Holy Spirit. And how many of you can agree that the Holy Spirit gives you an advantage in life? Hallelujah. How many of you could use an advantage in life? I'm telling you what, we've got something better than the world has, and you don't have to be edumacated to have this advantage. Hallelujah. You remember I made the point last week, you ain't got to know everything, you just got to know the people who do. Hallelujah. And if you've got the one on the inside of you that knows everything, that's all you need to know. Hallelujah. That's why the Lord told us that when you go stand before people, that you don't premeditate what you're going to say. Why? Because you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that's going to give you the words. And you know, some of y'all have never experienced this before, but when you stand before people speaking like this, it's a little terrifying. If I were to ask some of y'all to come up here and say, hey, I want you to just give your testimony or something like that, some of you'd be shaking like a leaf. Probably would turn me down, don't even want to do it and stuff like that. Listen, but you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, hallelujah, that gives you the power, that gives you the strength, that gives you the anointing to do all things. Many times I stand before you and I don't feel like I got a lot to offer. But I know, and I've had enough experience to know this, that if I just get up there and just do it by faith, hallelujah, I'll end up walking on water before it's all said and done, amen. Because it's God doing it. It's God's grace. So we're looking here in John chapter 16 and verse 7 at a profound truth that I'm so glad it's in red letters. This way you can't say Pastor Trey said it or the other disciple whom Jesus loved said it. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said these words that would be considered error with a capital E, heresy maybe, with most people if Jesus didn't say it. Notice what he said. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, what does that mean? The thing that you're about to hear might not seem like the truth, so I'm reiterating to you that what I'm saying is absolutely true. So he says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Hallelujah. Now, that right there just seems like that could not be true. Because most of us, if we could have our wish and be able to be born in any generation, most of us would want to be born during the time when Jesus had his 3-year earthly ministry and perhaps be one of his disciples. We would love to be with him, to be taught by him, to see his signs, wonders, and miracles and everything. But Jesus said himself, that's not the best time period to live in. What's the best time period to live in? The one that we're living in today. Which he goes on to say, it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. See, we're living in the time period where the Helper has come, bless God. The Pentecost has already happened. The Holy Spirit's already been poured out on all flesh. Therefore, we've got the Holy Spirit here, which out of Jesus' own mouth said, that's better than having him physically with us. Amen. Now, there's a big question that comes up then. If we say that having the Holy Spirit's better than having Jesus, does that mean that the Holy Spirit is better than Jesus? Does that mean the third person of the Godhead is greater than the second person of the Godhead? No. There is a difference, though, in how having the Holy Spirit is better. And we went over to John chapter 14 and verse 16. Let's go over there real quick. Because Jesus actually gave them the reason why this is true earlier in this very evening. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Hallelujah. That he may abide with you forever. So that first phrase right there, that he may abide with you forever, is a key to seeing why having the Holy Spirit is better than having Jesus. Because Jesus was only here for 3 years. He says the Holy Spirit's going to be remaining, staying, living with you forever.
Hallelujah. So just in terms of time, having the Holy Spirit's better than having Jesus. But he goes on to say, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, what does he mean, he dwells with you? Well, Jesus, is, as you see earlier in verse 16, he says that I'm going to give you another helper. And what does that indicate? That there was another helper. Who was the other helper? Jesus. Jesus was the original helper. So what he's saying is that the helper is here with you in this physical body, but then there's going to be another helper that's going to come that's not going to just be with you like I've been with you. He's actually going to live in you. Hallelujah. So the way having the Holy Spirit's better than having Jesus is because, number one, he's going to be with us forever. And number two, he's going to live on the inside of you. Now, when he goes and says in verse 16, I'm going to pray the Father and he will give you another helper, most people like to camp on the word helper there and think that's the significant word of the verse. And we're going to spend this service today talking about what the word helper means. But we talked about last week, there is a more significant word, and it's a word another. Notice he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. And we made the point last week that there are two different Greek words that were used back then to be that are translated another. One means another of a different kind, and the other means another of the same kind. The word another of a different kind is heteros, which is where we obviously get a certain English word. What is a heterosexual? It is a person that is attracted to another person of a different kind, or in this case, a different sex, right? That is not the word Jesus used right there. He used the word allos, which means another of the same kind, which it can be defined like this, an exact representation, a duplicate, or I'd like this description of it, an identical twin. Have you ever seen identical twins before? I'm telling you, I mean, exactly the same. It seems like only their mama can tell them different. And they're even finishing each other's sentences, and you got all this different stuff going on. That is the word that Jesus was using to describe how the Holy Spirit is another helper just like him. So what does that indicate? That the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. Everything you see Jesus doing, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit will do. Everything you hear Jesus saying, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit will say. So we made this powerful statement, and if you're taking notes, you need to write this one down. The Holy Spirit is to you and I today what Jesus was to his disciples then. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we've got exactly what Jesus had to offer living on the inside of us. And that's what makes this new and better covenant a better, more exceedingly great covenant than anything else. Because we've got our own personal Jesus on the inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. So looking for him out here somewhere is not the correct way to do the new covenant. The correct way to do it is look for Jesus on the inside of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The anointing in me, the hope of glory. So we've got this on the inside of us. So to me, I believe what we're missing in the church today is we're still having an old covenant mentality of God, I want you to do things out here. And we're praying to a God that's out there somewhere. When the truth is, God is in us. And my father in the faith says this. He says, that's why you bow your head when you pray, because you're talking to God right here. Hallelujah. God's in me. So we got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. Some of us look like we got more of the Holy Ghost than others. Amen. But everybody's got just as much of the Holy Ghost as anybody else. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, amen. So we have got the Helper who's just like Jesus in every way. So today I want us to camp on this word, helper. Let's look at this word, helper. It's very important. The word helper comes from the Greek word parakletos. Now listen, I'm not trying to Greek you to death and bore you to death or anything like that, but these are important things. I only know a little Greek and a little Hebrew. One owns a restaurant and the other a laundromat, amen. But the truth is, we've got a parakletos on the inside of us. What does that mean? Well, it comes from two words. The first word is para, which is where we get our word parallel, paramedical, paraprofessional, or parapro. What does that describe? It describes a person who is alongside of another one. If you're a paraprofessional, that means you come alongside of somebody who's a professional of something. In fact, let me show you a good scripture that illustrates what this is. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul used this exact word in talking to his son in the faith, Timothy, which I believe really illustrates to us what we're seeing in the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. It says in verse 14, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Of course, Paul's talking to his son in the faith here, and he says, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Now, what Paul's talking about right here is, you have come alongside of me, Timothy, and you have learned everything you've learned by being at my side. Because the word, when he says, knowing from whom you have learned them, the word from is para there. So it's describing, Paul's showing him how you and I, or how Timothy was taught by Paul. It was because he came alongside of him. So we're seeing a picture and a description of discipleship. Somebody who came alongside him. So listen to this. It's like, the truth is this, is that we have like our own Apostle Paul with us. How many of you would like to have a couple of hours with the Apostle Paul? I mean, really, you're able to just say he was able to come down from heaven and you get to spend some time with him and you get to ask him any question you want. I guarantee you, some of us who are learned in the scriptures, we might have some questions from those Pauline epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and say, "Paul, what did you mean by this? Or what did you mean by that?" That's what Timothy had. Amen? But I'm here to tell you today, we have something better than what Timothy had. Because we have the one who inspired Paul to write all those letters on the inside of us. So essentially, we have the author of God's Word living on the inside of us. Because why? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, amen? That's why you don't need anyone to teach you. Because the teacher himself, the author of the Scriptures, lives on the inside of you. You know, the best way to understand Shakespeare would be how? To have William Shakespeare right next to you. And we've got that one right next to us, the Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying to you is, when we read our Bibles, we don't need to just be reading the Scriptures on our own. We need to include the Holy Spirit into our Bible studies and start communing with Him during that time and say, "Holy Spirit, what did you mean when you said that? What did you mean when you inspired that person to say this and that?" So we're including the Holy Spirit and letting Him guide us into all truth. So that's what the word para means. It means to come alongside of. Now the other word that's used in the word parakletos is not just the word para, but it's the word kletos, which means to call. The word kletos means to call. Not like calling your dog or your cat. Calling that has purpose and intent to it. In fact, if you go over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul is introducing himself there, and he uses this word. He says, "Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle." Called to be an apostle. What does that mean? It means that he was called out by God for a certain purpose, for a certain intention. Just like many of us are here, I'm called to be a pastor. You might be called to be something else. You're called from God. So the Holy Spirit has a calling. Amen. What is His calling? To be para, alongside of us. So the word parakletos literally means called alongside to help. And when you see that word, it's oftentimes used to describe a defense attorney, a legal aid, or an assistant. Back in those days, it was usually used to describe somebody who was like a counselor that came alongside of you for legal reasons. And we'll get more into that in a minute. But even though this is what the original Greek word means, there are so many different words that you could use to define this word. And thank God for the Woman's Bible. That's the Amplified Version, in case you didn't know. You know why they call it the Women's Bible? Not just because Joyce Meyer preaches out of it, because it's real wordy. All right? Sorry, ladies. Man, I lost some of you there. Good gracious. Let me get back on these scriptures over here. Let me get on these notes. John chapter 14. Let's look at this in the Amplified Bible. It's powerful. I think the Amplified Bible really hit it well here. The Amplified Bible, in describing this verse, says, at this time, Jesus, well, that's not 14:16. Well, I'll just read it to you. It says that the Holy Spirit will come. He will give you, Jesus will pray, and God will give you another comforter. And then notice this. After he says comforter, he puts in parentheses, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby. Glory be to God. We've got some awesome things. Look at it again. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. That's who you got living on the inside of you. Somebody say glory to God. So the first word that's used and defined here is comforter. And I want to go through each of these words with you today because there's a powerful meaning in all of these things that the Holy Spirit has been designed to put on the inside of you. Amen. The word comforter literally describes someone who gives comfort to someone. Now, the Bible teaches us, it actually uses the same word, I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where it talks about how the Holy Spirit will comfort you in all your tribulations, so that you will be able to comfort others with the same comfort that you yourself have been comforted with. Hallelujah. So we've got God Himself there to comfort us. When we're hurting, when we're ailing, when we've got problems, the Holy Spirit is there to wrap His arms around you and provide you with the comfort that you need. Now, I can't help, though, that when we think of this word comforter, what's the first thing you think of in our English language today? You think of that little bedspread on top of your bed. You know what I'm talking about? Well, what is that comforter put there for? It's there to provide you, to hold in the heat and to provide you with more comfort as you sleep or something to that effect. But the thing I thought of with this is, did y'all ever remember seeing this movie back in the 80s called Mr. Mom? I think it was Alex Keaton or whatever his name, Michael Keaton. That he was basically playing mom during this thing. And there was a little boy on this movie who had his whoobie. You remember that? He had his little, well, basically this little kid, like many kids are today, they get attached to something. And they have a hard time until they grow up and the parent asserts themselves and takes it away from them. That they've got something that just having it there makes them feel comforted. Makes them feel good. And they will pitch a fit if you take it away from them. Like Linus's security blanket. Remember that from Peanuts? Most of y'all must be more familiar with that one. He had his security blanket. And what did he have? He had his thumb in his mouth the whole time while he was carrying his security blanket. That to me is a great picture of where most Christians are. When they go through things, they put their thumb in their mouth instead of knowing they got their comforter with them. It's time to get our thumb out of our mouth and take hold of the comforter. Amen. That we have one who just by virtue of the fact he is there should provide us with some security. That I got the Holy Spirit with me, therefore I know everything's going to be all right. Just like that little kid that when they got their stuffed animal or they got their blanket, they feel everything's going to be all right as long as they have that. When you know you got the comforter with you, you know everything's going to be all right. Amen. Say everything's going to be all right. But the key is, during that time, is that we communicate with the comforter. We have to learn to involve him in our life. And then when we're hurting and when we're going through things, how many of us set ourselves aside and go to the Holy Spirit? And include him and say, Holy Spirit, it's told to me in the Word of God that you are the comforter. I need some comfort right now, so I'm inviting you to come in during this time. Run to the throne before you run to the phone. Because most of us, when we need some comfort, we're calling our friends, man, bless God, and we're doing that. Go to God first, the comforter on the inside of you. So that's what that word describes to me. Now look at the next one. The Amplified Bible then goes on to translate it as counselor. A counselor. Now when we think of the word counselor today, this is what we think of. I looked it up in the dictionary, and it describes a person who is trained to give guidance or on personal, social, financial, or even psychological problems. We've got counselors out there, like a marriage counselor, a financial counselor, or a mental health counselor, or something like that. So basically, what are those people there to do? To provide treatments for the person? To provide guidance for the person? And what I immediately thought of that would describe the Holy Spirit, he's like our ultimate guidance counselor. Do you remember when you were in school that they had what were called guidance counselors and nobody ever went to that office? That describes what the church is doing. Most of us were in the principal's office, not in the guidance counselor's office. And why is that? Because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. If we were wise, what would we do? Go to people who knew more than us and ask them for help. What do you say? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man, because some of us, we need to do that. I remember when I was going from middle school to high school, and they were having us pick out a foreign language to take. And the person came to me and said, what do you want to take? You want to take French, or do you want to take Spanish? I said, I want to take Mexican. I didn't know Spanish was Mexican. I thought Spanish was for Spain. All right, see, there we go. So we need these counselors, is my point. Hallelujah. We need to go. Now, I'm not throwing aside the fact that we need wise counsel in people. The Bible says in Proverbs, there's a couple of Proverbs that describe that there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. But my point is this. Again, go to the counselor on the inside of you first. That's why many of you know that if you come to me and you want help with something, I'm going to point you to God and go into Him to ask you, because you got the same Holy Spirit. You serve the same God I do. Now, sometimes we need help, and sometimes we need people like Moses needed somebody to hold his arms up. But what we need more than anything, in my opinion, is that we need to learn to trust in the counselor on the inside of us. Let Him lead us. Let Him guide us. Hallelujah. Amen? So we've got the counselor, the guidance counselor. Why? Because He's called to guide us into all truth. Amen? So He will lead you and guide you into that truth. Amen. Now, the next word, I like this one, is helper. Now, we spent some time talking about helper. You remember we described a helper as a helpmate, and like a woman is described in a marriage covenant to be a helpmate for her husband. That's used to describe the Holy Spirit, that He's called alongside of you just to help you, you know, and to be there to support you in whatever way. And ladies, let me give you a good word of encouragement. Always back your husband up. Even if, listen now, sometimes people are technically wrong, but it's never appropriate for us to run down our mate, and this, husbands, this goes for you well, to other people. Because what do we do when we do that? We're not operating according to God's principles and the way God set things up. So even if you know he's not been the best person, ladies, come alongside and help. Because thank God, that's what the Holy Ghost does. You know, the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you is not quick to go and throw all your dirty laundry out to everybody. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, he doesn't do that. Now, sometimes he will give somebody a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom that will help, that's an attempt to rescue the person. But that's few and far between. Usually the Holy Spirit, because he's going to practice what he preaches. And he said love covers a multitude of sins. Right? So love will actually, even when it knows something's going on, it will actually cover it up. There's a lot of things that I know that I don't tell to nobody. And you know why? Because I'm thankful God doesn't do that about me. I don't want God throwing my stuff out there, airing it all out to people. And so we need to be like that, faithful to one another. And you should do this with your church body too. You know that? Hallelujah. So we get together and we're in one accord and in one heart, and we support and we encourage one another. It's kind of like you got your brother and sister. You might pound on your brother and sister, but you ain't going to let nobody else do it. Right? Because why? Your love for them. So there might be issues that happen, but guess what we should learn to do? We should learn to, we're not going to let people speak against them. I mean, I had a situation happen recently where somebody had said something disparaging about somebody else in this church. And I told somebody else regarding that, I said, look, it don't matter what's right and what's wrong. That's not even the issue. Well, bless God, it's the truth. I said, you know what the real thing is? You defend them anyways. I'm not going to let people do that. And I'm not going to let people do that about you. You know, if somebody were to come in here, and we're, of course we give people space to repent and stuff like that, but if they're just coming and sowing strife and tearing apart things in here, they're going to be asked to leave. Because why? We need unity. We need a family atmosphere more than anything else. Amen. So, he is the helper. Now, when I thought of this word helper, though, I thought of another scripture. Go over to Psalm 46. Thank the Lord. Psalm 46. Because in this verse, I saw something in this verse I'd never seen before. I could quote it to you, but I didn't really know what the original language meant. And this is powerful. You know, the Holy Spirit is God. So this could be referencing the Holy Spirit here. Notice it said, God is our refuge and strength. So let's take God out and let's put Holy Spirit there. The Holy Spirit is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Now, I looked this word up, the words that were used for very present help, and it literally describes this. It describes an abundantly available help. An abundantly available help. What does that mean? He's more than enough help. And this is the first thing that I thought of regarding that is, sometimes we think the Lord is only willing to help us with the big things. But if He is more than enough help, what does that mean? He's there to not only provide you help with the big stuff, but also with the little stuff. He's more than enough help. And I'm going to tell you something, He is not going to get irritated if you start asking Him for certain things. He wants you to include Him on the big things, but He wants you to include Him on these little things in life. And I think sometimes we have this picture that God is like this old telephone switchboard operator. You've seen those people on the old television shows, or the ladies out there trying to plug in and answer all these calls coming in, like God's struggling to hear all the prayers out there. Let me give you a revelation this morning. God has no problem. It's not going to dim the lights of heaven whatsoever for God to answer all the prayers of the widows in India, answer all the prayers of the orphans in Africa, and give you a front row parking spot downtown at the same time. No sweat. Amen. He's bigger than we think. And the thing that's special to me about God is this. I think sometimes we try to bring Him down on our level and through our own experiences think He's not able to do all these different things. Let me tell you an awesome truth. God wants you. He longs for you to ask much bigger than you're asking. I'm reminded of a story that I think I've used it in here before, and I think it was Alexander the Great. This was an account of actually something that happened with him, is that he had invited this one particular person that had done something for him, come and ask me for anything you want. And the guy comes before him and asks for this extraordinary amount. I don't know what it was, but it was something that to where everybody in the throne room gasped of how big he asked. And they're thinking he's about to have his head taken from him for being so presumptuous to ask so big. But Alexander shushed them all, and he said, this man, listen to this now, this man has recognized the greatness of Alexander and has asked accordingly. It will be granted to him. Because when you see God as so big, there's nothing he cannot do. God is able to do anything. So we need to just kind of stretch ourselves a little bit, see God a little bigger, start asking a little bigger. Amen? He's not struggling with it. And asking the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Amen. So, yes, ask him for the big things if you lose your child. Say you go somewhere and you lose your kid. Include the Holy Spirit in that. But even if you lose your remote control, including him on that too. Amen? There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. For this is what I'm called to do, says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So he is the helper. Glory be to God. Now, I like this one right here. Go back to John 14:16. The next word is intercessor. Intercessor. Now, what is an intercessor? An intercessor is someone who stands in the gap. Now, we have intercessors in our church. We have ladies that gather on Thursday morning and on Sunday morning that pray for those needs in those prayer cards in the middle of your bulletin. Thank God for that. But listen, even greater than them, we got an intercessor living on the inside of us that knows how to pray for you, that knows how to stand in the gap for you. Amen? And that's where this glorious gift that has been given to the body of Christ comes in handy, praying in other tongues. And I like to enunciate that word because nobody likes to use that word in church no more. But we believe in tongues here. Hallelujah. Which is what? Other languages is really what it means. But not another language that you learn through natural means of being able to speak a foreign language here on the earth. I'm talking about the tongues of angels. Glory be to God. Angelic tongues, which are, it's that prayer language that comes up on the inside of where the Holy Spirit starts praying out of your own mouth. Hallelujah. It says over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I believe this is where it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities and our weaknesses. For when we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So saints, I'm here to tell you that one of the greatest things that you got on the inside of you through the Holy Spirit is that prayer language that every believer has the right to have. Every believer has the right to do it, and every believer has the opportunity to utilize it more than when the Holy Ghost comes on you on Sunday morning. Because I'm telling you, there is a Pentecostal regime out there that thinks you only speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost makes you do it, almost kind of like it just comes up and I can't hold it back, like throw up. It's going to come out. No, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit on the inside of you gives the opportunity to call upon that prayer language and come in conjunction with him and spend hours, I said hours, praying in other tongues. Letting the Holy Spirit intercede through you. Have you ever been in a situation where you were so troubled and so upset because you got some bad news, an alarming report, and you couldn't even put one word in front of another and you didn't know what to do? That's when praying in other tongues becomes important. Because you can do that. You know how you know when you've actually got your prayer language? When your mind can go on something else while you're still speaking it. I can read the Bible while I pray in tongues. The only thing that distracts me is my own loud volume. Hallelujah. But just pray in tongues. And do it for time, for hours on end. I remember the first time I started getting a revelation on praying in tongues and how it builds you up and brings you into the mystery and so forth. So I'd committed. I said, I'm going to pray in tongues for an hour. Never done it before at this point. 15 minutes, nothing happened. 25 minutes, nothing happened. The only manifestation I got of God was a dry throat and a sore tongue. But then when I got to 40 minutes, it was like somebody poured Jehovah Java into me. Y'all got to get quicker, man. And supernatural energy came into me. It came into my fingers. It came into my eyes. It came into all parts of me. Hallelujah. And it was the edification process of praying in other tongues. It built me up. So that's why I'm a big advocate that you spend a lot of time praying in tongues. Why? Because then you get revelation of the Word of God too. I account for a lot of the things the Holy Spirit shows me in the Word of God, partly to my calling, but another part to my yielding to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. So every single person in here, if you got your prayer language, spend some extra time praying in tongues and watch what happens. It'll enter you into the rest. It'll build you up. And we'll get more into this in the future because we're going to be talking about the gifts of the Spirit, of course, this year. So intercessor was the next word. What's the next word in John 14, 16? Advocate. Oh, hallelujah. I love this one right here. Do you know what an advocate is? An advocate is a defense attorney. It's your legal counsel that's on behalf of you. Now, just by this word right here, it should cause us to throw out some of the negative misconceptions that we have about the Holy Spirit. I've talked to people before that come up in Pentecostal legalistic type circles, and they'll say, man, I did that wrong, and the Holy Ghost took me to the woodshed. You ever heard that before? The Holy Spirit condemned me, he beat me down, and told me what a low-down, dirty dog I am. Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a defense attorney, when they're on trial for something, stand up and start trying to condemn the person they're defending? You ever see that? No, that's the prosecuting attorney's job. So why would we think the Holy Spirit is trying to condemn us and is trying to tell us what a low-down, dirty worm we are? He's the defense attorney. He's actually there to stand up for you and say all that you are, not what you've done. Praise God for that, amen. Now, who's the prosecuting attorney there? That's the devil. Oh, man, he is anti-righteousness, adversary. The word says in 1 Peter 5:8, talks about the adversary, anti-righteousness. He is absolutely against you being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and will do everything he can to condemn you and tell you how you've missed it and remind you, and your own heart will help him out. Oh man, I know I just failed and did that. I can't believe I did that. Listen, don't focus on what you did. You can't go back and change what you've done. All you can change is your present and your future. And the Lord don't want you to grovel around in that. Now, there is a place for repentance and conviction and things like that, but it's different than the Lord actually coming and beating you down over it. In fact, go over to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you a few verses here. How many of you got something highlighted in the 8th chapter of Romans? Hallelujah. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You could preach on this one for years. But notice what it says. 8:31. Man, I'm going to have to control myself here. 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? Now, you know what that tells me? We should be saying something. You're actually supposed to say something. When the devil comes and tries to discourage you and say, you're never going to get to where God wants you to do. This is never going to happen for you. This is what I love to tell the devil. If the devil comes and tells me it's never going to happen or it's not going to work, I turn it around on him and say, well, thank God. What do you mean, thank God? This is what I mean. Because the devil is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. So if he's telling me it's not going to work, then bless God, that means it's going to work. Hallelujah. So what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And what's indicated there is God is for you. He's on your side. He's beside you. He's there to help. He's there in the person of the Holy Spirit to defend you, to be your counselor. He's there to support you. God's not looking for things wrong in you. He's looking for things right in you. Amen. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Notice the next verse. If he did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know what that means? That means if God the Father sent Jesus to die for you and I, gave the most precious gift that could ever be given, how in the world could we possibly think he won't give you something less valuable? It'd be like me sacrificing Levi for you. You know what would be insulting to me? is if after I did that to somehow save your life, then you'd come to me and say, well, Pastor Trey, I'm just not sure you'll pay my light bill for me. If I gave you my son, the most precious thing that I possess, then what would make you think I'm not going to give you something else? That's what Paul's using the argument of here. And notice this, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Most people think it's God doing it. But Paul answers and says it is God who justifies. In other words, God's not in the charging business, in the condemning business. God's in the justifying business. That's what he does. And then he goes on to say, who is he who condemns? And the indication here is it's not God. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. So what you should be able to clearly see in these verses is God is not that little voice that comes up on the inside of you when you miss it and you do something wrong that tells you that you have fallen and you're not worthy to be used. All condemnation is to deem unfit for use. If you condemn a building, you're saying that building is uninhabitable again. But I hear, bless God, we are worthy of habitation because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us. Now the glory of God in the person of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Hallelujah. So you should just be able to say this every day when you get up. Thank you, Lord. You've made me worthy to have the glory of God live on the inside of me. Praise be unto God. And when you start talking that way, you start thinking that way, guess what happens? It just changes your whole attitude towards life. Amen. Now back over in John 14:16. Let's look at another one. The next word that's used is strengthener. Thank God forever. The Holy Spirit is your strengthener. Meaning what? When you are weak, when you don't know something, when you don't feel like you can do something, you got somebody on the inside of you that will give you the power to do it. You familiar with the scripture over there in Philippians 4:13, aren't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Well, who's Christ? Well, it's Jesus. He is the anointed one. But what about his anointing? Part of the power that you get is from the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He lives on the inside of you to enable you, to empower you. In fact, it says over there in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 12 and 13. Let's look at that one real quick. Philippians 2. He says in this verse 13, I believe it is. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, how many of you ever read that verse? And it means this to you. Work out. Well, you got to work for your salvation. You got to be holy enough. Boy, I got to do more. I've got to have all these different things going on in my life, or God's not going to approve of me. That's not saying work out your own salvation. You know what it means? Exactly what we sang this morning, what Oliver led us in. From the inside out. Work from the inside to the outside your salvation. See, you already got it on the inside, but then you've got to cooperate with God so that it comes from in here where it's a reality in the Spirit to where you're experiencing it on the outside. But then I love the next verse. It says, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his own good pleasure. Glory be to God. I remember when the Lord spoke this verse to me before. Because I was all condemned over, kept struggling and different things, and I was going to the Lord about it, and I was like, God, when am I going to quit struggling with my flesh, and I keep falling into all these things and so forth. And the Lord speaks that scripture to me, said, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his own good pleasure. You know what that means? The Lord will give you the desire to do the right thing. Every person that's born again and has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you knows what's right and wrong because the law's been written in your heart. But this is what's so awesome about the Holy Spirit. He don't just show you the right thing to do. He actually empowers you to do it too. Because why? He's your strengthener. Amen. Say, the Lord is my strengthener. Amen, amen, amen. Now, the last word that's used here in John 14:16, is the word standby. Now, I like this word standby. A lot of times when we hear this word, We think almost kind of like standing by like he's not first or he's not a priority or we're waiting on him or something like that. That's not what this means. When the Holy Spirit's called our standby, that means, it describes this. This is actually a dictionary definition. It describes his readiness for duty and immediate deployment. His readiness for duty and immediate deployment. That means that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is standing with you, waiting for you to invite him to the battle. Amen. He's there. And the thing about the Holy Spirit, and I hope you've been hearing this through this series, he is a perfect gentleman and he's not going to force himself on you. He just waits for an invitation. Amen. So he is our standby. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is faithfulness personified. Hallelujah. And listen to this. He's not easily offended either. He's called to stand by you. Unlike many people out there that believe the Holy Spirit is like this bird in a tree that if you just move the wrong way, he's going to fly away from you. The Holy Spirit is not quick to leave you. He's called to be faithful to you and to stand by you. And you know, as I thought of this word standby, I thought a song came to me. And I am certain that this can be a hit. You ready for this? I mean, it was a great, I'm just telling you, it just came up on the inside of me, and I think we're going to be able to make some money on this one. You ready for this? I'm going to try to reenact it. Dun 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 dun. When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand by me. Now stop right there. Listen, listen. Most of y'all sang more to that song than praise and worship songs. Now I know what I need to preach on next time. But hey, I'll sing, you know, I'm telling you, the Lord is not religious. And the Holy Spirit don't get troubled if you were to sing that song to him. It's the devil that's perverted all this stuff. Bless God, he's called to stand by me. And he is going to stick closer than even my brother, than even my mother, than even my father. I got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me that is not going to condemn me. He's not going to throw guilt on me. He is going to stand alongside of me to be my what? To be my comforter. To be my counselor. To be my helper. To be my intercessor. To be my advocate. To be my strengthener. And to be my standby. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's a good God. So the Holy Spirit is called to do all of this and more for you. But in closing, y'all know what that means, right? Nothing. For all of you who don't come to High Point Church, when the pastor says in closing, that means absolutely nothing. You know, you see all these names for God. Jehovah Imkadish, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Jireh. Many of the ones we can quote, and one day perhaps I'll teach on a lot of these names. It's a good thing to focus on. But there is a word, there is a name given to God that's more of one of your more less known ones. And it's from Ezekiel 48:35, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord called himself Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. The Lord is there. There to what? There to do whatever you need him to do. I believe that is the name for the Holy Spirit. Shama Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are there. You're there to lead me. You're there to strengthen me. You're there to empower me. You're there to be my very present help, my abundant help in whatever situation I'm going through. Doesn't matter what it is. If you need a mechanic, he's there. If you need a doctor, he's there. Ladies, if you need a spouse, he's there. If you need a friend, he's there. So what should never come out of our mouth ever again? I ain't got nobody. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, amen, to serve whatever need I have. He is there to be that to you. But like it was said in Acts chapter 9, do you remember the story of Ananias? Not Ananias and Sapphira, but the other Ananias that was there after Paul had his conversion on Damascus. Ananias is in his home, and the Lord speaks to him and says, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. I wonder how many times the Lord has called our name and we weren't there. I would venture to say that's happened more times than we would like to think about. And the Lord's not condemning us over that. He just wants us to be more open to when He is summoning us, when He is beckoning us, that we are there. So let's flip it for a second. The Holy Spirit is like Ananias. If you and I will just say, Holy Spirit, you know what his response will be to you? Here I am, my love. Here I am. He is ever present to give you anything you need. So it's time for us to take the scales off our eyes and begin to see that we have a parakletos, one who is called alongside to help us in our job, in our marriage, with our parenting, with every single thing. And the Holy Spirit's waiting for you to call on Him, for this is what He's called to do, to be by you, to help you in any and every situation. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand on our feet.